Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. Well, we're talking about divisions in churches, cliques, if you want to use that term. Because that's the first problem that Paul takes up in his 1 Corinthian epistle. Interesting, isn't it? I don't know that I could say with divine authority that the first problem is the most important one, is the most significant one, is the biggest problem. But it certainly wouldn't seem to be the least if he took it up first. I don't know how much weight to put upon that, but it's got to be one of the most significant problems because it does come up first, and it is addressed recurringly throughout the early chapters of this epistle. It is a very serious problem, and it remains a problem in churches today. Now, I'm going to make a statement. Spiritually healthy churches don't have a lot of divisions. And I was careful in what I said. I didn't say spiritually healthy churches have no cliques, no divisions, because that would require perfection. And we're not going to get to that stage until we get to heaven. There are no perfect churches. There are no perfect pastors. There are no perfect deacons. There are no perfect church leaders. There are no perfect church members. And therefore, you're never going to have a church in which divisiveness has been banished forever, and there's no possibility that it will ever rear its ugly head again. There is no such place on planet Earth. And even if you don't have divisions in your church today, and I praise God if that's true, and I hope that's true, and I hope it remains that way a long time, but I can assure you, given enough time, you will have to deal with this from time to time. It's just part of our fallen Adamic nature that has not been fully sanctified and will not be until we get to heaven. So when I'm talking about a spiritually healthy church, I am not talking about a perfect church, because there is no such thing. But what do I mean, therefore, when I say spiritually healthy churches don't have a lot of problems with divisions? Well, I'll explain that a little bit better in a moment. But first, I pause to welcome you to this Wednesday, April 7 edition of the Beacon Broadcast. And thank you for tuning in. And thank you, those of you who help us with the financial costs. Spiritually healthy churches don't have a lot of problems with divisions. Now, to explore that statement a little bit further, we have to have a clear understanding of what I mean by a spiritually healthy church. Since a spiritually healthy church is not a perfect church, what is it? It is a church where, number one, nearly everybody is a truly born-again believer. And again, I didn't say everybody. That would be the ideal. How we would long for that to always be the case, but the Bible doesn't promise that. But it would be a church in which most of the members, and ideally all, are truly born-again believers. That's what a church ought to consist of: born-again, Bible-believing Christians who have come together in a local church because of their common commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, because of their common interest in the Word of God, because of their common desire to honor and serve the Lord with their lives, because of their common goal to be involved in the Great Commission, to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And it is a church that is made up almost entirely of people like that. That'll get you started in the right direction. I'm talking about what is a spiritually healthy church, and that will get you started in the direction of a spiritually healthy church. But if you have a church that has a significant number of its members who have not truly been born again, what can you expect to have but problems of all kinds, including divisions, arguings, fights, splits, the kinds of things that Paul is talking about right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 when he's talking about divisions in the church. You say, well, I'm so glad that our church doesn't have very many unconverted people in the membership. I hope that's true. But I will say to you that it is my observation that the average, and I'm going to use some labels here because we use them, the average fundamental Bible-believing church in America, that's one description, the average evangelical Bible-believing church in America, that's another description, the average Baptist church, and our church is a Baptist church, the average Baptist church in America, and I won't keep going on. I could spend the rest of the broadcast talking about different labels and categories, but I would say that the average, and I suppose one term that might encompass everything that I have mentioned and a lot more that I didn't, that the average conservative Bible-believing church in America has a significant number of unconverted people in its membership. That's, I say, by way of observation. I don't know every church, and I certainly don't know every member, and I certainly don't see into every heart. But that is my observation, that even Bible-believing churches in America tend to have a significant number of unconverted people in its membership. And if that's the case, then you're going to have problems. Now, what are the indications that would back up what I have just said? I've made a claim, and the question is, how do you support that claim? Well, one interesting study showed that among Baptist churches in America, and particularly in the South, that most of them have only between a quarter and a third of their members who regularly attend church. Now, there's something wrong with that picture. Church members ought to attend church, but I'm not so much concerned about the responsibility, the ought to. I'm concerned about the want to, the desire. If we're talking about born-again, Bible-believing people, they have, according to the Scriptures, a God-given desire for the Word of God, a God-given desire for the people of God. They long to be in church. They long to fellowship with their brothers and sisters in Christ. They long to be under the preaching and teaching of God's Word. They long to be actively involved in serving the Lord. So they will be in church because that's what they desire to do. And only genuine obstacles will keep that from happening. Obviously, sometimes health problems make that impossible. And, of course, there are times when everybody is going to be away, probably. Nearly everybody is going to be away, out of town for certain number of Sundays in a year. So there will always be some times when people will not be there through no fault of their own, not because they don't desire to be, but just because the circumstances at the moment make that impossible. But when people can stay out of church month after month, and sometimes don't darken the door of the church more than, well, who knows, in some cases once or twice a year, the likelihood is that these are people who are not truly born again. They don't have the spiritual desires that a born-again person has. Now, when you have a lot of people like that in your church, you shouldn't be surprised if you've got all kinds of expressions of sinfulness and shallowness and carnality, including divisions in the church. That's what you will inevitably have if you've got unsaved people who are either masquerading as Christians or are deceived into thinking they're Christians when they have never been born again. It's going to happen. I remember, oh, it's probably been more than 45 years ago now, probably been at least 45 years ago now. I stopped at a church, a large church, because it had been recommended to me to take a look at the building, and there were reasons for that that I won't go into now. And I happened to be going by, and I thought, well, I'll just stop in and see if there's anybody there and if I can take a look at this building as it has been recommended to me. So I stopped in, and sure enough, the church secretary was there, and she was delighted that someone would take an interest in the beautiful building. Beautiful building. I mean, they had a beautiful auditorium. They had a beautiful gymnasium, family life center. They had beautiful educational facilities. It was a first-class facility all the way around. And she was delighted to show me around and talk about this building. She was very proud of their church. And one of the things she said during the half an hour or so that we were together, that she was showing me around the building, one of the things she said was, and this last Sunday we received our 1,000th church member. We now have 1,000 members in this church. She was so proud of that. And about that time, I walked through a corridor, not in the auditorium, but in the hall behind the auditorium, where there was an attendance board, like you find in a lot of churches, that said how many were in Sunday school, and I forget what all the numbers were, how many were in church, what the offering was, and so forth, you know, that sort of thing. A numbers board hanging on a wall behind the auditorium, and I glanced at it, and I realized that that church had had an attendance the previous Sunday of right at 300. 1,000 members, 300 present on a Sunday. Now, you take any church of any membership, doesn't matter, we're talking about 100 members or 1,000 members. Take a more average-sized church, a smaller church with 100 members. You take a church with 100 members on any given Sunday. Some of these are going to be sick. Some of these are going to be members, but they're what we call shut-ins. They're not able to get out at all, ever. Those days are gone. You can always have a certain percentage of that. But if you've only got a quarter to a third of your membership attending, and in any church you've got some people who attend who aren't even members, when you've only got a quarter to a third of your membership present on any given Sunday, that's an indication that you have got a sizable number of members who are not born-again believers. They've made a profession of faith, but they are not born-again believers, and that creates problems. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.